appreciate Brother Electric filling in for me last week as I was going through my own little battle with COVID. I didn't get real bad or anything, so I praise the Lord for that, but I appreciate him stepping up and preaching last week. So 2 weeks ago, we getting into the center portion of the book of Proverbs, the area from chapter 10 through chapter 24 that are called the Proverbs of Hezekiah, the Proverbs of Solomon. And everything is just basically the short, pithy sayings or the short proverbs that we're looking at. So what we did 2 weeks ago is just begin to look at subjects within these chapters. In other words, as you go through these chapters from Proverbs 10 through like Proverbs chapter 23, you'll find Solomon, or you find the Holy Spirit addressing a particular issue or subject, and he'll make a comment about it in this verse, and there's another proverb over here in that chapter, and another one over here. And so you just kind of go through and you group them all together, and it kind of gives you, I shouldn't say kind of, it gives you a good view and an understanding of what God's trying to really say to us. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at landmarks in life, where the Bible tells us, remove not the ancient landmarks. And we find that reinforced here in the book of Proverbs. We also, well, I saw as I've been reading in the books of Moses, where that law is established by God. And he says, don't remove the ancient landmarks. Don't remove your neighbor's landmark. You know, it wouldn't be right for us to encroach on our neighbor's property. We're just going to move our boundaries over here because we want a little bit more land, you know, beside our family life center. Well, that's not right. You can't do that. So we dealt with that 2 weeks ago. Tonight, if I had a subject for this, I would call it a slow response. A slow response. And we're looking at the subject because he deals with it a fair amount here in the book of Proverbs, and that is the subject of anger. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you've never had an issue with anger. Probably, if the truth be known, probably all of us at some time and to some degree have had issues with anger. It is something that you will deal with, and we are dealing with as we go through our lives. You know, and we know in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said, be angry and do what? Sin not. So he says, in essence, you know, you can be angry without sinning. And that's the goal. You're not going to avoid becoming angry. Quite frankly, there are things that we need to get angry about. But you don't have to sin. Be angry and sin not. And so that subject is dealt with a fair amount here in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to begin here tonight in chapter 14 in the 29th verse. Let's have prayer and then we'll get right into it. Father, I know that there are a lot of folks who are sick right now. Some dealing with COVID and some with other issues. It's that time of year, and we just ask for safety for our folks and ask, Lord, that you would bring quick healing, Lord, to the Nice Warners and to the Davises and to the Mitchell family. And Lord, there are probably others that maybe I'm not aware of right at the moment. I think about Whitney preparing tonight for her surgery tomorrow. Just ask that you would work in a special way to give her a quick recovery and safety through that surgery tomorrow. But right now, with those of us who are here, we want to be able to focus on your word, and those that might be joining us at home, Lord, help us to learn from your word. You have given us these things, not just to fill pages, but to, Lord, help us in our life. And there are a lot of folks who have issues with anger. So God, I pray that we would learn from you, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 14, in the 29th verse, says this: he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Now here's a statement that Solomon makes in this proverb. And he uses the word slow. We all understand what the word slow means. When I was growing up, I used to be accused of being very slow. You know, just kind of dragging my feet to everything. Come on, Jeff, get out here to the barn. We got to get going. You're holding things up. Quit walking so slow. You know, that we understand what the word slow means. Along with the normal meaning of slow, There is, if you look at the definition, an attitude of just being long-suffering and being patient. Being long-suffering, being patient. He said again, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. You are slow to wrath because you have great understanding. That's a statement. You are slow to wrath because you have great understanding. So in other words, when you begin to get filled with anger, if you have great understanding, it will help you from seeing that anger becoming just out and out wrath, pouring out wrath on someone. How does that happen? You have great understanding. Well, what does great understanding mean? I think what he is saying is this. You take the time to consider the circumstances, the thing or the individual that is causing you to become angry may have a reason for doing or saying or being what they are. There may be reasons for that. So he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. No understanding, you get real wrathful real quick. Your anger, you know, you blow, the old saying, you blow the gasket and you just lose control. That attitude. But when you have great understanding, and this is not something that just comes naturally necessarily, it comes by a Holy Spirit motivated work in your life and my life, where I'm no longer just going to look at the person and the wrong deed they have done or the wrong words they use, but I'm going to look deeper and find out, in a sense, why. Why is this happening? So again, look at that statement. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Taking the time to consider the circumstances or taking time to consider the person in the midst of the circumstance. So let me give you like some examples. Let's say you go home. You know, most of us are men in the room tonight. So you go home, and when you get home, you walk into the kitchen, and your wife turns around and she just lashes out at you. I mean, it's very uncharacteristic. She just kind of lashes out. You know, like, hey, honey, how's your day? What do you think my day would be like? And all of a sudden, she just kind of lashes out, and it's offensive. Now, you're the only woman in the auditorium right now, so I don't know if you've ever done that to your husband or not, but sometimes those things do happen. And the natural response of the husband is, oh, going to talk to me that way? Just go home from work, worked hard all day, and you're going to talk to me that way? And you just want to lash back out at them. You want to return the favor, so to speak. But the man who's of great understanding steps back and says, this is not the normal reaction of my wife. This is not normally the way she would speak to me when I walk in the door. And before you return the volley, you give thought. Maybe even whisper a quick prayer, Lord, something's not right. Reveal to me what's going on. And just a simple statement, honey, what's wrong? And then you find out that 30 minutes ago, she got a call from her parents in Florida and found out that her dad just died of a heart attack. And she was going to call you, but you were stuck in a meeting at work, and then on your way home you got stuck in traffic. You're 30 minutes late, and she's been brooding on this. She's brokenhearted. And she lashes out, not because she's angry, but because she's hurt. Notice again, he that is slow to wrath is, this is what he is, he's of great understanding. This man takes time to understand the circumstances or the person of the circumstance. Another example, you know, you have a child, and their neighbor friend who, you know, comes over quite a bit, and they always go outside and they play out in the back of the woods, back on your lot, and they're always having fun. And you know, it's time for your child to come in. You want to say it's your son, and it's time for him to come in. And he's not there, so you go outside and you kind of walk around a corner, and sitting on a log there is your son, and blood is just kind of pouring out of his mouth, and it looks like he's been hit. And that friend of his is looking down at him. And what's the first thought that goes through your mind? First thought probably would be, if you love your son, is there's been a fight and that neighbor kid just hauled off and hit my son. And what would be the first reaction of most fathers? You want to defend your son and you're going to go after that kid. I don't mean necessarily physical violence, but you're going to get off this property and don't you ever come back. That kind of thing. A man of great understanding steps back and says, this boy has never hurt my son before. This boy has never done anything to cause me to distrust him. Before I lash out, maybe I better find out what's going on. And then you find out that they were riding their bikes around and your son was, trying to stay ahead of his friend as he's looking back, and he didn't realize that tree stump was there, and he goes over it and the handlebar goes up into his mouth and cracks some teeth and, damages his face and he's bleeding. And the neighbor boy is not attacking him. The neighbor boy is trying to aid him. You just have to have some understanding. Before you make something out of a situation that really wasn't, you got to understand the circumstances so you don't lash out at that neighbor boy in anger. I think all those things make sense. God says, again, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Someone who is seeking to always understand the circumstances or the people of the circumstance before we go off on somebody. I have been guilty in the past of going off on people not knowing the circumstances. And that's not right. That's not right. It's not right to do that. You notice the last half of the verse. He that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And when you are hasty, your spirit has been riled. Something has caused you to be angered. And sometimes people are quick to wrath. You get angry and you're quick to wrath. And all of a sudden, because you don't keep your spirit in check, because you do not seek to have understanding, you say something that's going to cause the situation to become volatile. You do an act that's going to cause consternation and harm. He said, again, when you're hasty, notice in your spirit, hasty of spirit. It starts there. Hasty of spirit, it exalts folly. It brings folly into the picture. What is folly? It's foolishness. You begin to do foolish things. I begin to do foolish things. Have you ever been so upset at someone you've accused them of something only to find out that they weren't the one that did it? Several years ago, that happened to me. I thought someone had done something, and it was really upsetting. And we got into a conversation, and I just let this person have it. Don't you ever do that again, blah, 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 blah. Only to find out that they weren't the ones who did it. I let my emotions, and I played the part of the fool that day. I literally played the part of the fool that day. And so he says, you might have an anger issue. And the way to get hold of the anger is to make sure, again, to seek understanding. Now, how does that happen? Well, that happens by taking a verse like this and doing what David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart. But doing what God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. If you got anger problems, and I've seen people, known people who have had anger problems. I don't mean an occasional thing. I mean it's a constant thing in their life. You know what? If you say, actually I do have an anger issue, here's what you do. You begin to take the scripture and you begin to memorize it, meditate on it, and then say, God, open, developing my mind of this thought of great understanding. I want to be understanding to people. And before I just fly off the handle, I want to make sure that I'm understanding the situation so that I do not inappropriately make accusations or inappropriately react to something. Now, anger is not a sin. What we do with the anger is sin. And the whole point of this is don't be hasty in your anger to begin to do things that will make you look like a fool, because we certainly can. Notice Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. Proverbs 15, verse 18, I should say, verse 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. A wrathful man stirreth up strife. Once anger becomes wrath and you unleash it, it will probably cause strife. It'll cause contention. Let's say you had gone in the backyard and you saw your son bleeding and the neighbor kid standing over them, and your automatic assumption is they got in a fight and my neighbor kid decked my son and hurt my son. Then you chew him out and you order him off your property, and he goes home in tears, and he walks into his home and his mom and dad say, "What's wrong?" And he finds out, the parents find out what happens. You know what? Now there's going to be strife between two families in the neighborhood. It never had to be that way, but now it's going to be. How many times have churches been torn apart because of strife between members? Strife between members. And the attitude is, well, I'm just right. Well, I had a right to get angry. I had a right to say what I said. And there is no understanding there. And God says that all these things can be brought to a conclusion and can be a good conclusion if we learn not to allow anger to control us, not to misuse that emotion when it comes on us. So again, when you go back to verse 18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife. This is what wrathful people do. When I don't control anger, when we become wrathful, we are going to stir strife. A lot of churches over the years have split. And almost every church that splits, there is within the body division, schisms. Many times things not dealt with properly. I remember as a boy, you know, I grew up in two wonderful churches, the Canton Gospel Center. Dr. Harland O'Dell was our pastor, and it was a non-denominational church. It was Baptistic in its doctrine, but non-denominational. And his last message to us was over a phone line on his deathbed, and he died. And the man who came in to pastor was a very, very good man, good pastor, actually. But he became pastor by the dying pastor basically saying, "You're taking over." And the people didn't vote on it. And that kind of irked some people. So over the months, it just kind of festered. And I remember they finally had this business meeting. We ran about 500. It was a pretty big church. And they had this business meeting. Well, we had a balcony in our church, and it was enclosed. It had a glass enclosure on the front. It had a speaker system. And they sent all the children. So I couldn't have been any more than 4, 5, 6 years of age. They sent all the kids up to the balcony. Forgot to turn off the speaker system. So we got to hear every wicked thing that was said in that business meeting. And there were some bad things said. Some things said that a little child should never, ever hear. And the people just lost control. And it greatly hurt that church. Drove that pastor away. He would move to Illinois and pastor another church later. But, you know, those things, it never had to be that way. And it ended up hurting that church. I could take it at churches right now that once were great churches that are now the shell of themselves because Satan drove a wedge in, somebody got angry, didn't use understanding, grew wrathful, spewed vile things, and it just stirred up contention in the church. And now those churches are no longer the vibrant gospel lights that they could have been. This is a major issue. You know, we may not struggle with adultery. We may not struggle with murder. We may not struggle with, you know, the big sins. But I can tell you, in God's eyes, this sin is a vile sin. It's a sin of abomination. He hates it, and he wants us to do everything we can to make sure that we have victory over this. So again, verse 18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. He quiets strife. He quiets contention. He has enough sense to say, whoa, wait, folks, wait. Let's just calm down. Let's just talk this out sensibly. And if we can't do it right now, let's just all go home and pray, and we'll come back, but we're going to remain calm. That kind of a spirit. And when a man or a woman seeks to have that kind of a spirit where they are slow to anger and they are seeking to calm wrath and calm strife, God can work through that. But he can't work through a person who's just raging. Can't do that. Look at verse 32 of chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. Now you notice he's just building on the subject throughout these Proverbs. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You know what we get off on? Especially we men, we get off on power. Right now I'm reading a book about the island hopping actions of World War II in the Pacific. You know, especially with the Marine Corps, some Army, but you know, basically Marine Corps going in from this island to that island, and the brutal, brutal warfare that went on. I'm learning things from this book that I never had heard before, just the brutal thing. You know what? I've never been in the military. I've never fought in a battle, and I guess I'm smart enough now in my life that I never would want to do that, never would want to face combat. But you know what? I'm drawn to it. It's a guy thing. I don't think most women are this way, but it's a guy thing. How many of you guys like war movies? Okay. Now, if you've been in combat, you probably don't, but you know, that's a guy thing. We are drawn to violence. Right before service, by the way, you should pray for Caleb Newsom. He just boarded a plane flying back. He's in the Air Force flying back to South Korea right now. So yesterday they got to go bow hunting. And he got the biggest buck he ever got. Or maybe it was Monday. So you know what? That's kind of a guy thing. You know, put that deer down. Now, to my wife, every deer is Bambi. And you feed Bambi. And you pet Bambi. You don't shoot Bambi. And you certainly don't eat Bambi. But to guys, like, yeah, I'd like some good venison. You know, that kind of thing. It's a guy thing. All that said, while we may get off on might, you know, we're impressed with the guy who can bench press, you know, 550. You know, we are impressed with, you know, the guy who plays middle linebacker for the Steelers. You know, is Watt a linebacker? Or is he a defensive end? I can't remember. But you know, we get impressed with these guys. You know, well, look at his physique, look at his speed, look what he can run in the 40. We get impressed with that. We get impressed with strength and might. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong, but it has little value, and that's what the Bible says about exercise. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Exercise is a good thing, but he says bodily exercise profiteth how much? Little. If we were as concerned about exercising our spiritual life, our spiritual minds, as some people are focused on their physical life, then we'd have a bunch of spiritual giants running around. So when you look at this verse, he said, when a man is slow to anger, he's actually better than a mighty man. You know, the man that can do whatever he does on the battlefield or whatever the man does on the athletic field. We get off on that kind of thing as guys. God says, I don't. And he said, I'd rather you be a man who knows how to control your temper, who knows how to control your anger, be a man that can be angry and not sin, not let your anger become filled with wrath. He said, I'm just telling you, flat out plain, when you are slow to anger, you are better than Mr. America. You are better than the NFL player. You are better than, and you can just fill in the blank. You say, you're better. Why? Because you have an ability that many men especially don't have. And we just kind of get off on being able to put people in their place. You know, that's, I will tell you this, maybe not everybody will agree with me, and I understand, I believe your children ought to be taught how to defend themselves. I don't think God expects your child to get beat to a bloody pulp. But I also remember what Jesus said. He said, if somebody comes up and hits you on one cheek, what are you supposed to do? Turn the other one. How many dads teach their sons that? How many sons teach their, or dads teach their sons that? Son, turn the other cheek. Seek to be slow to wrath. You know, somebody says something to you, the first thing you want to do is this. Yeah, come on, let's get it on. Well, how about we don't get it on? How about I try to calm the situation and then give you the gospel? How about that? And sometimes we get this mindset that is very carnal. We focus on the physical. We focus on physical strength. We focus on physical ability. And God says, no. Not that it's wrong or sinful, but it's of very little value in the light of eternity. So he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Right now I'm going through the book of Joshua. And what are the Jews doing? They are taking city after city after city. And they are obliterating everybody. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's a guy thing. I get off on that. Oh, man, they went in there and slaughtered everybody. Woohoo! Total victory. I mean, total victory. Not some of these things, you know, we're going to have this armistice between North and South Korea and no one ever wins and all that kind of stuff. No, this is total victory. It's kind of a guy thing. But God says, look, there's something better than being able to take a city. Something better than to be able to annihilate your enemy, because a lot of times that's how men settle things. Just going to annihilate the guy. That's my attitude. I'm just going to annihilate him. God says, no, something better than that. That is for you to be able to rule your spirit. To be able to, in a sense, have control over your spirit. That your spirit does, that spirit of anger, that spirit of wrath does not control you. By the way, when you begin to look at things that dominate nations, dominate especially the ends or beginnings of ages, and you'll find a lot of demonic activity, and you start to see a lot of spirits talked about. Spirit of fear. Spirit of, I'm trying to think some of the things that you find in major prophets. You know what? We can get a spirit of wrath that totally destroys our testimony. And so he said, it's better for you to be able to rule your spirit, to have an attitude of long-suffering, than to be able to go out there and just overwhelm everybody else. Well, I showed them a thing or two. I won the fight. I won the argument. Okay, great. And you lost your friend. But you won the fight. You won the argument. But you lost your friend. You ruined your testimony. You played the fool. Look at chapter 19. Chapter 19 and look at verse 11. And we'll close here with this tonight. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Now you notice as you go through these, the theme is basically the same, and there's a kind of a pattern to this. He's drilling into our hearts and minds what we need to do and what we need to be. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. What's discretion? Well, it's the ability to understand. It's the ability to discern. There's a reason that this is going on, and I need to find out why. I need to find out why this person is acting toward me the way they are. I need to find out why I'm reacting the way I am, why I'm getting so angry over this issue when I don't know that I should be. And using some discretion, using some discernment in that issue. But then you'll notice he said, again, verse 11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. What does he mean? What does he mean, defer? It means he delays it. Now you may find out, now listen, you may find out that you have every right to be angry. And there may be a need to do something radical. And I'm being serious about this. But you've approached it the right way. You're going to delay that anger until you understand the situation completely. Here's a good example. There's a man named Jesus. He's from Nazareth. And he goes to Jerusalem. I know it speaks about it in John chapter 2 or 3. And when he goes to Jerusalem, he remembers a teaching that he, who's the Word of God, actually gave to the Jews thousands of years before, that when you go to the city that God has set aside, that was Jerusalem, and you are to have the feasts and the celebrations, this is what you're to do. If you live a long way off and you can't carry your first fruits, you know, the wheat, the barley, the fruit of the vine, it's going to rot, it's going to, you know, crumble before you get to Jerusalem. This is what you do. You sell it at home and you take the money and you go to Jerusalem. What do? You buy it there. You know, same thing with cattle. If driving those young lambs or those young heifers is going to be overwhelming, then you sell what you have there. You take the money, you go to Jerusalem, and they will have animals you can buy there. They'll have wheat or barley or the fruit of the vine, whatever it may be that you can buy there, and then you can have your sacrifices, and you can partake in it, celebrate in it, offer your burnt offerings, whatever it is. Now, that is God. That is God that proclaimed that. I think he talks about that in the book of Numbers. He said, or maybe the book of Leviticus. So this is what I want you to do. And this is how you do it. If you live too great of a distance from Jerusalem, this is what you do. When Jesus goes to Jerusalem in John chapter 2 or 3, what does he find? He finds people buying and selling. Well, God said that's what they're supposed to do. If you live too far away, you go to Jerusalem and you purchase so you can sacrifice, you know, do what you're supposed to do for the different feasts. Okay, that's great. But he noticed something. Now he's discerning. He's using some discretion. And he notices in that temple, they're not just selling. They've made it a money-making scheme. They have corrupted the house of God. Now what does Jesus do? He sits down. And he makes a whip. You say, what's the significance of that? He didn't just react. He thought about it. I mean, just talking about it from the human perspective, he thought about it, he calculated, he discerned before he went in and took care of business. Now, when he took care of business, what did he do? You tell me, what did he do in the temple to those who were selling? Overturned the tables. What else did he do? Beat the money changers and drove them out. And what was his famous saying? My Father's house. Yeah, this is my Father's house, is a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. He did become angry. He did show wrath, but it was through discretion. He didn't just go in there and just assume. To me, there's a picture there. There are times where it's necessary to become angry, even to grow wrath-filled, but you better be sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. Better be sure you're doing it in the right way. God sanctioned. You say, well, he was the Son of God. I understand that. I understand that. And I'm not suggesting that you go into some other church and start beating people with a whip and, you know, overturning their community table and all that. I don't mean that. But I do mean there are times where those things are necessary. So what do you find? You find that God says you are going to have to deal with anger all your life. Make sure you deal with it correctly. Make sure you use discretion. Make sure that you have great understanding. Consider what's going on so that you approach it right. So all through these Proverbs, from Proverbs chapter 10 through about chapter 24 or so, you find these individual proverbs dealing with the same subject, and you begin to put them all together, gives you a pretty good picture. We didn't quite finish. We might go over a little bit of that next week, but I just find that interesting. But he does this on many subjects. And you just, you know, as you're reading the book of Proverbs, if you're like me, you just read through, you know, you just keep getting reminded, I got an issue with anger. Maybe I better listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying through this. So that's pretty good stuff, in my estimation. That's pretty good stuff. Valuable book. Some men, my brother-in-law, who goes around the country and teaches people to read at least 10 pages of the Bible every day, will tell you, you read your 10 pages, and then you read 5 Psalms, and you read 1 proverb every day, every single day of your life. Proverbs, the book of wisdom. There's 31 Proverbs. Matches your calendar. It'll help you to grow in wisdom. So, interesting thought. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. And if you can stay and pray for a few minutes, that'd be good. There's actually an even number here today. You guys pray together, maybe Jeff and you guys pray together, and you guys pray together, and I'll pray with Vern. If you guys want to, you can do that, and if you don't, then you don't have to. But that's just a suggestion tonight, anyway. Father, I thank you again for your word. What a tremendous book you've given us. Thank you, Lord, that it does change our lives. And I'm sure there are a lot of folks who at one time had a great anger issue, and you have learned, or they have learned through your word and through allowing the Holy Spirit to work in them to get victory. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to give us victory in these different areas of our life, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.